Imagine trying to build a blast furnace, right? But the only material you have available to actually construct it is ice.
Right, which sounds completely impossible.
Exactly. But that is basically the fundamental paradox of modern high-powered lasers. The physical mirrors required to contain and bounce the light back and forth, they're inevitably destroyed by the very energy they are designed to create.
They literally melt under their own power.
Yeah, but what if you would just throw out the mirrors entirely? Like replace them with the pure, indestructible gravity of a black hole. Welcome to today's deep dive. We are looking into a highly complex, honestly fascinating text called The Black Hole Lens, Information, Chaos, and the Fractal Point of Failure.
This is a really brilliant paper.
It introduces this rigorous mathematical framework known as the conditional collapse transform, or CCT. And I'll say this right now, if you've ever worked within a system, whether that's a piece of software, a mechanical engine, or even just a team of people,
Oh, absolutely.
and you've watched it completely melt down when pushed to its absolute limit, this deep dive is going to totally challenge how you view those breakdowns. Our mission today is to completely break and rebuild how we think about light, lasers, and physical boundaries. We're going to learn why chaotic failure is not always a disaster you have to avoid.
Actually, it's often the most powerful tool for discovery we have.
Right.
It forces us to completely reevaluate our relationship with instability. I mean, in conventional physics and engineering, a point of failure is just where your system stops working.
Game over, basically.
Exactly. But this framework provides the mathematical proof that at the extreme edges of physics, the point of failure is actually a highly precise lens. It reveals the deepest structural truths of a system. Truths that, stable order just simply cannot measure.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because the text argues that to really understand the brilliance of a black hole lens, we first have to understand why conventional optics are basically doomed at high power scales. Let's go back to that ice furnace problem.
Sure, so the issue really stems from what physicists call Dirichlet boundaries.
Okay.
When you build a standard laser, you use stationary, solid geometry, like physical mirrors at either end of a cavity or Brewster windows.
Right, physical objects.
Yeah, these are physical constraints meant to force the light into a stable, oscillating pattern. But the fatal flaw is that the mechanism providing the feedback, the mirror itself, occupies the exact same physical space as the intense heat source.
Right, so building a high-powered laser with physical mirrors is basically like trying to build that blast furnace out of ice. The very thing containing the energy is inevitably destroyed by it.
That's a perfect analogy. Because it's a solid physical object, it has to absorb at least some of that energy. The imperfections in the glass trap heat, the material undergoes thermal expansion, and eventually the structural integrity just gives out.
It just melts.
Yeah. The laser's ability to function collapses the exact moment its support structure turns into a puddle of molten slag. That physical collapse is inevitable at sufficient power.
So the mechanism of containment guarantees its own destruction.
Exactly. So the conditional collapse transform framework, the CCT, asks us to abandon physical boundaries entirely. Instead of using vulnerable glass or matter, the proposal is to use pure information and space-time geometry to bend the light.
Because, I mean, you can't melt a gravitational field.
You really can't.
Yeah.
Gravity has no melting point. The underlying math relies on the metric tensor, which defines the gravitational field. It doesn't absorb heat, it has no thermal expansion coefficient, and it is perfectly time reversible.
Wow.
The text actually uses our own sun as a sort of warm-up exercise to demonstrate how this works.
Okay, how does that work?
Well, imagine you place a laser transmitter in deep space, exactly at the sun's gravitational focal distance. That's roughly 550 astronomical units away.
Which is incredibly far, just for a bit of scale for you listening. Pluto is about 40 astronomical units away. So we are talking way, way out in the interstellar medium.
Oh, extremely far out. And from that distance, you fire an annular beam.
Like a ring.
Exactly. A massive hollow ring of light, perfectly aimed so it grazes the outer corona of the sun. As the light travels past, the sheer mass of the sun warps the space-time around it.
Right.
That warped geometry smoothly bends the entire massive wavefront, collapsing it down into a single, intensely focused focal point on the exact opposite side.
All without a single piece of glass or metal anywhere in the optical path.
Not at all.
And the amplification power the text describes here is just staggering. Compared to just firing a laser through empty space, using the sun's gravity boosts the signal by a factor of 10 to the 5th or even 10 to the 6th power.
Yeah, you achieve a million-fold amplification. And because the lens is made of pure space-time rather than matter, there is zero heat generated in the optical path.
That's insane.
Even the intense radiation of the sun itself is just background noise. It functions as an indestructible, perfectly reversible transformer.
Okay, as incredible as that is, I feel like the sun is a bit too safe for the main thesis of this text. I mean, a star is a weak field potential. Its gravity is strong, sure, but it's not strong enough to force light into an orbit.
Right, it just bends it.
So if we really want to test the absolute limits of this theory, to find the breaking point of a physical system, a star won't cut it. We naturally have to look at the most extreme space-time curvature in the universe. We have to bring in the black hole.
Exactly. We have to look at a Schwarzschild black hole.
Which is what, exactly?
It's a black hole stripped down to its most basic theoretical form.
Mm-hmm.
Pure, unadulterated mass with no rotation or electric charge. So there's no vulnerable geometry, no physical surface to melt or shatter. It is entirely composed of information encoded in its mass.
Okay.
And when light approaches this ultimate gravitational lens, it falls into one of three distinct impact regimes.
Okay, let's break those down. The first one is the weak deflection regime, which operates a lot like the sun, right?
Yes. The light passes far enough away that the bending is smooth and stable. It creates a nice, stable focus.
And then on the complete opposite end, you have the interior regime.
Right, that's where the light passes too close, crosses the event horizon, and is permanently captured.
Gone forever.
Gone forever. But what's fascinating here is that middle zone, the boundary between those two extremes.
The critical curve.
Yes. It occurs right near the photon sphere, sitting at a radius of exactly 3 times the black hole's mass. In the CCT framework, this razor-thin boundary is defined as the fractal point of failure.
Wait, I have to push back on this premise for a second. If the entire goal of moving away from physical mirrors was to find an indestructible lens, why are we focusing our attention on a zone literally called a point of failure? Doesn't seeking out the failure point completely defeat the purpose?
It sounds totally counterintuitive, I know.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to look at what is actually failing.
Okay.
The black hole itself is perfectly fine. Gravity hasn't degraded. What gets shredded is the deterministic predictability of the light itself.
So the laser is what breaks.
Exactly. A perfectly coherent laser requires a stable limit cycle. The wave pattern at 1 microsecond needs to look almost identical to the wave pattern 1 cycle prior. It has to be highly organized.
Right.
But the space near the photon sphere is governed by something called a Lyapunov exponent.
Which basically measures the rate of exponential divergence, right? How wildly things fly apart.
Precisely. Imagine 2 photons in your perfect coherent laser beam. They're traveling side by side, microscopically close together. But as they hit the photon sphere, they're hovering right on that razor's edge between escaping back out to space or falling into the black hole.
Oh, I see.
Because of the Lyapunov exponent, that tiny microscopic distance between them is amplified exponentially. 1 photon might orbit the black hole 2 times before escaping. The photon right next to it might orbit 3 times or 10 times.
Wow, which means they travel vastly different distances. And since light is a wave, if those waves travel different distances, their peaks and troughs are completely misaligned when they exit. So the perfectly organized wavefront of the laser is literally violently shredded into this chaotic cascade of time-delayed subrings. For a perfect laser, this boundary is an absolute nightmare.
It is. Deterministic predictability completely collapses. Your rigid, highly structured laser beam just turns into unpredictable noise.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting, because the book takes this whole scenario and introduces this brilliant twist. If our most perfect, orderly, coherent lasers fail completely at the photon sphere, what actually succeeds in mapping it? Randomness.
Yeah, which flips standard optics on its head. Standard optics treats randomness as the ultimate enemy. But the authors propose replacing that billion-dollar coherent laser with a microscopic speck of radioactive material.
Just a radioactive speck.
Just a speck. You send it right behind the black hole.
Because radioactive decay is entirely random. It emits gamma photons isotropically, meaning it blasts them equally in all directions at completely unpredictable intervals.
It represents maximum directional entropy. And in this specific environment, that is its superpower.
Yep.
Because the emission is already completely random, it literally has no phase coherence to lose. It cannot be shredded by the Lyapunov exponent because it is already mathematically disorganized.
It's like trying to measure the exact shape of a jagged, incredibly complex coastline. A perfectly straight, rigid ruler, which is our laser, is totally useless. As the moment you press it into those deep curves, it just snaps.
Right, it breaks.
But if you throw a handful of dry sand, the random photons, it naturally flows and fills every single microscopic crack and crevice and perfectly reveals the fractal shape of the coast.
I love that analogy. And let's push that sand analogy a bit further.
Yeah.
The radioactive source acts as a natural Monte Carlo sampler.
Okay.
It's continuously throwing random variables at the black hole. And because it uniformly samples every possible impact angle, the image that emerges on the other side isn't just a messy blur.
Right.
It forms a highly detailed series of nested subrings from photons that orbited 1, 2, or 100 times before escaping. It maps the basin boundary perfectly.
And it reveals that the boundary is a fractal. The text calculates the box counting dimension of this fractal to be about 1.1343.
Right. Yes, exactly.
And just to clarify what that means for you listening, a perfectly clean straight line has a dimension of 1. A flat, solid surface has a dimension of 2. The fact that this boundary sits at 1.1343 means it's literally caught between being a line and a surface.
It's infinitely jagged.
Right. If you zoom in 1,000 times, the edge remains exactly as complex and chaotic as it was when you started.
And the math backs that up with an uncertainty exponent of about 0.8657. which mathematically guarantees that deterministic prediction is impossible.
So randomness isn't just noise here. It's literally the ultimate measurement tool.
It's the only measurement tool capable of resolving this infinitely complex structure.
It's just a wild visual. But this raises a pretty obvious practical issue. Testing this theory with a real black hole and radioactive gamma rays isn't exactly feasible for a weekend DIY project. So how do we prove this point of failure is actually a universal physics principle and not just abstract math?
We look to fluid dynamics. The text introduces what's called the acoustic analog.
Okay.
If the mathematics governing the critical curve are truly universal, they shouldn't just apply to cosmic gravity. We should be able to recreate them in a laboratory using fluids and sound waves.
Because of the Unroe metric, right, which states that sound moving in a fluid obeys an effective metric that is structurally identical to how gravity bends space-time.
Exactly. The math maps perfectly. So the researchers propose building an acoustic black hole. You just take a circular water tank, about a meter across, basically a large, precisely engineered bathtub.
Okay, I can picture that.
You install a drain in the center and use a rotating impeller to create a draining vortex. As the water spins and drains, its speed increases toward the center. Eventually, the speed of the water flowing down the drain exceeds the speed of sound in the water,
which creates an acoustic event horizon. Any sound wave that crosses that threshold is swept down the drain faster than it can propagate outward. It can never escape.
We have our black hole.
So in deep space, the photon sphere is where light orbits infinitely. Where is the photon sphere in our water tank?
In the tank, the analog is the circular null geodesic of the vortex. It's a specific radius where the flow of the water perfectly balances the speed of the sound, causing sound waves to infinitely orbit the drain without falling in or escaping.
Okay, so the tank gives us our testing ground. Now we need to match the setup. We need our rigid ruler and our handful of sand. What's the laser?
To represent the perfectly coherent laser, they use a device called a SACER. It stands for sound amplification by stimulated emission of radiation. It's basically a device that shoots a highly organized, phase-coherent beam of phonons, sound particles, into the water.
And for the random radioactive spurk?
The solution is beautifully simple.
Right.
Just a standard underwater speaker broadcasting chaotic, completely random white noise.
So they surround this vortex with a 64-element hydrophone array, essentially a ring of sensitive underwater microphones. And by tuning the drain rate, they can sweep the SACER beam right across that acoustic critical curve. What happens?
The exact phenomenon predicted for the black hole. As the stable SACER beam hits the acoustic photon sphere, the hydrophones record it violently shredding. The organized wave collapses into chaotic, exponentially diverging echoes. Coherence is utterly destroyed.
And the white noise successfully maps the fractal boundary.
It maps it perfectly. By analyzing how the random frequencies scatter, They physically measured the fractal dimension in the tank at about 1.2.
Which is remarkably close to the 1.1343 theoretical prediction for the cosmic black hole.
It's an incredible match.
Think about that. The exact same math governing the most terrifying objects in deep space can literally be recreated in a bathtub with a drain and a speaker. It's mind-blowing.
It really is.
So what does this all mean? Why should anyone care about these lab experiments beyond them just being, you know, cool physics tricks?
Well, it matters because if you can map the point of failure, you can manipulate it. The authors detail how this fractal boundary actually acts as a highly engineerable control knob. They outline three specific theoretical inventions that harness this chaos. The first is the gravitational random number amplifier.
Using the exponential divergence we talked about earlier.
Yes. True randomness is incredibly difficult to generate, but it's vital for secure cryptography. If you feed a weak, slightly random quantum source into this hyperbolic regime, the exponential sensitivity of the vortex acts like a massive magnifying glass for entropy.
Wow.
It takes microscopic fluctuations and stretches them wildly apart. It turns tiny noise into uncrackable macroscopic randomness.
Unbreakable cryptography. That's huge. What's the second invention?
The coherence chaos switch. Because we know the exact mathematical location of the boundary, we can use it as a physical dial. If you aim your beam slightly away from the critical curve, it's stable and completely unbroken.
But if you move the impact parameter, like a fraction of a millimeter closer,
the beam hits the Lyapunov exponent and instantly shreds into precisely predictable time-delayed pulses. You move from a solid beam to a string of distinct echoes just by nudging the angle. So you can use the vortex as a natural encoder for temporal multiplexing.
You're switching a beam from stable focusing to temporal multiplexing, which flows perfectly into the third invention, acoustic delay line memory. How do you encode binary data in a spinning pool of water?
You encode it in the number of acoustic echoes around the vortex. Think of the null geodesic like a racetrack. When you send a sound wave in at a precise angle, it might orbit the drain exactly three times before escaping to hit a microphone.
And those orbits take a physical amount of time.
Exactly. You've created a physical delay. You can encode binary data ones and zeros by controlling how many times a wave orbits. The chaotic fixed point becomes a tunable physical memory element.
That is incredible. If we connect this to the bigger picture, we arrive at the ultimate thesis of the CCT framework, right?
Yes. The authors state that any system governed by a hyperbolic fixed point-like black holes or fluid vortices will be reversible, fractal, chaotic, and highly informative.
The point of failure is not a bug. It is a window.
Exactly. It shatters the assumption that chaos is a defect.
Well, we have journeyed through some incredibly intense concepts today. We started with the realization that building systems with rigid physical boundaries inevitably leads to those systems melting, the whole mirrors problem.
Right.
We moved to the indestructible gravity of the sun and then ventured to the absolute extreme of a black hole, discovering that at its photon sphere, perfect order is violently shredded. And finally, we brought those cosmic equations down to a water tank, proving we can harness that chaos.
True understanding really requires us to abandon rigid coherence and embrace a little random chaos.
Absolutely. And I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over. This framework proves that in optics and gravity, randomness reveals the true structure of a system far better than perfect coherent order. It makes you wonder about the complex systems in our own lives, our careers, our societies, or even the AI systems we are currently building.
Oh, for sure.
We spend so much time trying to engineer out the noise and unpredictability to force perfectly coherent, predictable outcomes. But what if that noise isn't an error to be fixed? What if injecting a little randomness is the only way we'll ever be able to accurately map the boundaries of our own potential?
Like we said earlier, sometimes you just need to throw the sand.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the boundaries of what you know, and we'll see you next time.